You're listening to Mountain West Voices. I'm Clay Scott. Last week on this program, we heard the story of Larry Kuntz. In 1937, when Larry was five, his parents were shot to death in front of him. He was beaten and left for dead in a grain elevator in the small farming community where he lived near Columbus, Montana. Larry was raised by relatives and ended up in Spokane, Washington. He got married, had kids, and had a long career as a pharmacist. He never talked about the murder of his parents, not to his wife, his children, his friends, or anyone else. But a couple of years ago, one of Larry's grandsons found some old newspaper accounts of the killing. Then Larry and his wife made a visit to the Museum of the Beartooths in Columbus, where an exhibit dealt with the Kuntz murders. Larry decided it was time to start sharing stories of his experience. About the same time, the great-granddaughter of Franklin Robidoux, the murderer, had started to ask questions of her own about her family history. I met her at her home in Tacoma, Washington.
I'm Cassandra Norman. My maiden name is Robidoux, daughter of, Richard and Shelley. And Richard's father was Richard Jr., who was the son of Frank Robidoux. Up until about a year and a half ago, I believed him to be a full-blooded Indian who had killed some people to protect his family. And that ended up not being true.
That was the family folklore?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember laying in the spare bedroom and hearing the men talk, and they were talking about my great-grandpa. But, you know, it was just words here and there. So, you know, as a little girl, you piece different things together. But the one thing that I remembered was the Indian part, and I was always so fascinated by that. And I thought, oh, that's kind of cool, you know? And he was almost like a hero, and I couldn't understand why he would be a bad man. So, yeah. And then it just kind of fell together in the last couple of years. So it first started with an article called The Witness to a Hanging. And I read that and I thought, oh, that couldn't possibly be my great-grandfather. And then I did some more digging, and then sure enough, that was my great-grandfather. So that was my first inkling that something was very wrong.
As Cassandra and her husband were driving from Minnesota to Washington, they stopped in Columbus, Montana. They'd heard about the exhibit at the Museum of the Beartooths, and they decided to pay a visit.
I remember sitting in the archive room, going over all this information, and almost like a computer, how you have to wait for things to load, which is a really bad analogy, but...
In your mind?
In my mind, yeah. So for 5 hours, we went to the courthouse. We went to where he was hung, and we did all these things. I saw all this information in the crime scene photographs, and I was silent all the way from Columbus, all the way from there to Spokane, where we stayed for the night. And my husband, he says, do you want to talk about it? And I said, no, not really. I can't understand, you know, everything that I witnessed today. I mean, because really I was just a witness to everything all over again. And it was really hard for me to process because it wasn't the man that I think that my childhood mind put together. You know, he really was the bad guy. And I thought, oh my God, you know, what if, you know, violence and crime is something that's inherited and not just an emotional reaction to an event.
For Cassandra, the next step was getting in touch with Larry Kuntz, the man whose parents her great-grandfather had murdered. She got up the nerve to call him, and he invited her to visit him in Spokane. That was over a year ago, and they've become friends. It turns out that there were a lot of connections between the two families. Cassandra learned that her grandfather was Larry's best friend growing up. She also found out that Frank Robidoux's wife was pregnant at the time of the murders and that Larry's mother was to be the midwife.
And I just instantly felt at home. You know, I just felt... It was just the weirdest feeling. I just felt like a piece of my family. Yeah. It was a good way to offer some closure in a lot of ways, and it answered a lot of my questions. But for me, it opened a lot more questions, and it brought almost a sense of family. I mean, I can't imagine my life without Larry and Janet in it. That's kind of what I took from it. I can't take responsibility for what my family members have done, but... you know, I can embrace the situation and maybe try to make it better.
You've been listening to Mountain West Voices. Our series is produced in association with the O'Connor Center for the Rocky Mountain West, a regional studies and public education program of the University of Montana. Additional support was provided by the Greater Montana Foundation. To learn more about today's story and to listen to and download over 100 stories from around the Rocky Mountain West, go to mountainwestvoices.org. I'm Clay Scott.